Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 15. I told this in Sunday school, but I can't help it. It's so funny. I preached chapel on Friday. And got the biggest kick out of this. I wish some of us would believe this. Preaching about rules and why we have rules. Rules bring freedom. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, surely it does. Because if we have no rule against me going up and hitting Colton in the face, he wants that rule. Right? And I want that rule because I don't want you to get up. Right? That's why we have the rule. You can't assault and batter somebody. Why? Because it's against the rules. If you break the rule, you get in trouble. Why? It gives us freedom. Amen. Rules give us freedom. They built the walls in the Old Testament like the city of Jericho so the people that resided therein had freedom from the people that were outside. You stay inside the wall to have freedom. You go outside, you lose your freedom. That's good preaching. So I'm talking to the kids. This is why we have rules. So you can't go out in the playground and have somebody spike your head into the pavement. That's against the rules. And so I said, what are the Ten Commandments? Because the Lord gave us Ten Commandments that are the rules. That was the rules. By the way, there's a whole lot more than ten. Okay, but he gave us Ten Commandments, and if we could even remember what they are, that would be tremendous. So I'm asking the kids. I love to ask the elementary kids, because the elementary kids come up with doozies, okay? So I'm asking about 25 answers. We got them just about all nailed down. We really do. And little Justice raises her hand, and she says, just as matter of fact, clear as a bell tone, thou shalt not drink beer. Fantastic. Fantastic. How do you recover from something like that? You know, how do you recover from something like that? Glory to God. Ha! That's tremendous. Luke chapter 15, let's all stand together as we read verse number 4. I'm going to try to get you out as soon as possible today, but that's what I keep saying, hoping that it actually comes to pass. The Bible says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Brother Bill, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Yes. That's right. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to read with me the first verse here in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You could preach literally an entire message on that verse alone. You could preach an entire message and have time left over to preach about this. I would to God the publicans and sinners would draw near to hear Jesus Christ. I would to God we'd come to the realization that we have a desperate need of a Savior. I would to God that we'd come to the realization that we have a Savior that saves all. If you'll call upon Him, if you'll trust in Him, He is the answer. I know it's easy to say, hard to live. But Jesus Christ is the answer. There's not one problem that cannot be solved by perusing the wonderful pages of our King James Bible. There's not one thought that we cannot have answered that cannot be answered in this wonderful book. And as Jesus starts to speak, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I would to God that this morning that we would draw near. Not to hear Brother Dave, I couldn't care less if you listened to me. But I would to God that you'd listen to the message that the Lord has given me to give to you. I would to God that you'd hear this because I don't want to speak in and of myself. I don't want to have my words be the ones you take home. I want it to be Jesus. And every preacher that has anything inside of him doesn't want you to hear them. It wants you to hear God. And if God's not here speaking, then it's irrelevant what we talk about. This verse starts out with, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And then verse 2, and it always comes to pass that verse 2 has to come as well. Verse 1 says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, glory to God. And then verse 2 comes, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. My goodness. It's a good thing that we receive sinners at Bethel Baptist Church. It's a good thing that we receive sinners here because Jesus Christ gave us a wonderful example that no matter who was present, he still received sinners. Is there anyone that you would welcome into the crowd of Bethel Baptist Church that if they said to you, stop running the buses, that you would be willing to stop running the buses? There's no one, I don't care who you are. You can come in here all you want and say, I don't want those dirty, rotten, snot-nosed bus kids in here. Go ahead. I'd rather have you gone. Let me say that again. I'd take the bus kids over 100 of you. Why? Because they need Christ. Apparently you don't. As we serve the Lord together, every single time, there's always somebody. I'm not even to the message yet. I'm going to try to get us out early, though. There's always somebody that is against serving the Lord. Doesn't that sound crazy? Who in the world would be against serving the Lord? The people that don't need him. Now, if I would ask you to raise your hands and who needs Christ in here, I would hope and pray that you'd raise every limb that you have, saying that you need him. But believe it or not, there's folks that don't believe that they need Christ. There's folks that don't believe that Christ is necessary for their furtherance in their spiritual lives. But I don't care where you're at in your spiritual walk, you always need Christ. There's never a day, I'm going to tell you, and this is going to sound, take this for what it's worth. The further I get into the ministry, the more I realize that I need Christ. Isn't that dumb? You would think that you'd get further along, you know, oh, Christ, I don't need you on this one. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I need him more today than I ever needed him before. I come to a realization that what I've got to say means nothing. What he's got to say means everything. I could come up here and say what Christ wants and be completely successful, or I could come up here and say what I want and be completely unsuccessful. Christ has got to be all in all in every part of our lives and every one of us. No matter how far along you are in your salvation, no matter how far along you are in your lives, you need Christ. Yes. Amen. But there's always some. We can't afford the fuel. And our fuel bill's high. BP, big time. What are we going to do? We're going to stop running buses, right? We're going to shut it down. Oh, my goodness, we can't afford the diesel. Diesel's going so high. Can't afford it. See, we can't afford not to. If you don't keep serving the Lord is going to stop helping you. But there's always some. There's always some that would look at our missionaries and say, you know, you ought to cut some of that program. You ought to cut some of that rope. And by the way, Dr. Miller informed us, he was just with us. He's an evangelist. Dr. Miller informed us he's down to like 3 or 4 churches that support him now. I can't figure God out. But God's going to keep bringing the money in. Well, I don't know how. As long as we don't get foolish, God will keep helping us. Now, then he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you? And I believe he was saying this so everybody could hear him. Because please understand that there's people that are against God and there's people that are for God in this crowd. By the way, that's every crowd. Which one are you? And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I look at these verses and I tell you, I get excited. Because Jesus is speaking a parable here. Jesus is speaking a parable here to let people know how important this thought is. Bringing it into subjection to their minds. Letting them know that this is what they ought to know in a language that they can understand. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't speak in a language only he could understand? Aren't you glad that Jesus gave us a book that we can read and understand? So he brought this parable unto them to let them know that, listen, what man of you, if there's everybody's, by the way, he's speaking to everybody. He's asking, what man of you, out of all of you, whether you believe in me or not, what man of you, if you had 100 sheep, would leave them behind to go and find the one that you lost? Amen? I want you to notice a few things. Sometimes, if you get into the scripture, you can see wonderful truths about what's not said. Amen? Because sometimes what's not said is very important. I want you to read this verse with me again. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Can I ask you a question? How long did he seek? The title of the message this morning is very, very simple. Keep seeking. If you look at this verse, he's trying to provoke the thought of the men that are there. And when he tells these parables, when he gives these parables, these stories, he's trying to provoke them to think of what he's doing, what Christ is doing. What is he doing here? Why is he here? Why has our Savior come to us? He tells the men that are there, if you have these sheep, if you have these 99 that are here, that are with you, and you know that you're missing one, you will seek until you find it. But it does not say how long he sought. It does not say how long it took. It does not say how long that man or whoever owns that flock of sheep, it does not say how long he went out into the perils of life to seek that sheep. It does not say how long it was. But it did say one thing, that he looked and sought until he found it. Now let me ask you a question. Did he make sure that the other sheep were in the protective custody of someone else when he left? This is good if you'll just stay with me for a moment. I'm laying a foundation that'll make you excited about your life. Did he leave the sheep in the protective custody of someone else when he went? No, where'd he leave them? Read your Bible. He left them in the wilderness. He left them in the wilderness. And he left them in the wilderness, why? Because it was so important to find the one lost one. It was so important to find the one lost one. It didn't matter how long and arduous the journey was. It didn't matter how long he had to do it. Time was of no concern. I just have to find my lost one. Can I ask you a question? Did it say about how dangerous it was? Did it say that this man thought of the cost and the danger of the journey when he went to find this one lost sheep? Did it say anything about how hard it would be to find this one lost one? Did it say anywhere in these verses about the cost of the journey itself? The price that would have to be paid. You're already starting to follow me, aren't you? Did it say anything about the price, the ultimate price that may have to be paid? Was there any guarantee when he left the flock in the wilderness that he would not have to lose his own life? There are mountain lions out there. There are cliffs. Starvation could come. He might lose his horse. He might lose his way. And who knows how long it's going to take. It didn't say where he was finally going to find it. It did not give a location. It didn't have GPS. Who knows where he's going to find the sheep? And who knows if the sheep is even going to still be alive? But did that matter to the man that owned the sheep? Did it matter to him what the cost may be? Did it matter to him how long it would take? Did he consider his own life when he left the 99? Does not say any of that. It just says he sought until he found it. You know, Christian, I'm going to stop here for a moment and say to all of us, you know, sometimes we give up too soon. It doesn't do us any good to pout, although I'm pretty good at it. A lot of times things don't go our way. And boy, is that not the truth. A lot of times things don't take the road that we think they ought to take. And sometimes we get along this journey, and you can put whatever you want to on this, family member, a person that you've been praying for. I mean, how many people have been praying for somebody to get saved and they just haven't got saved? You know, it's amazing to me how soon we give up on that. You know, it's amazing to me how soon we give up on somebody's life. Ah, they're worthless now because they have a glitch in the road or something comes along and we deem that to be too hard. We deem that to be too much. And Christian, as sure as I'm standing here, I want you to stop getting in the messes that you get in. And let me not rephrase that. Let me just tell you it again. I want you to stop getting in the messes that you're getting yourself in. I mean, if you're married and looking on your computer and getting on pornography, I'm not surprised when divorce comes. Why? Because you got yourself in that mess, moron. I mean, I'm not surprised when you're drinking alcohol that you get pulled over for DUI. That breaks the 11th commandment. Out of the mouths of babes. That's just dumb, kid. I'm going home and having me one. But that's what our teacher said. Anyways, so hey, listen, come and teach one day. You'll consider it. So here we are. Not counting the fact that Christ has given you a thought. Believe it or not, if you do something, this is great. If you want to do something good, I know I've said this 100 times, but I want you to get this. What dwells in your flesh? No good thing. Now, if you get a thought of doing something good, who gave you the thought? Isn't he good? So if you get that thought of doing good, ought you not seek until you find it? Ought you not keep working until that person or until they die or get saved, one or the other? Ought you not continue to pray, continue to hope, continue to tell? Ought you not do something to not give up? So many of us, the Lord has told us to do something. I'm one of them. The Lord told me to do something. I just don't do it. I repress it. I hold it back, and I'm glad I'm the only one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But understand this. At the end of the day, if I would have done it and just told God I'm going to do it, and not stop until I do, I believe the Lord would bless me. Because at the end of this parable, he does find it. Sometimes we give up too early. Sometimes we in our life, we count the cost. Fuel prices are going through the roof. We're weird here. Bethel's weird, would you not agree? If you're visiting for the very first time, stick around. We get a lot weirder. But understand this. Gas prices going through the roof, right? BP bills killing us. So what do? We go out and buy another bus. What? Where were the deacons on that one? You know why? Because Streetsboro needs a route. Huh? Do you know why? Because there's more little kids. Do you know why? Because 60 and 70 and 80 in super church is not enough. You know why? Because more kids need to get saved. Do you know why? Because we need to keep seeking. We need to keep seeking. I said we need to keep seeking. Now there's a line between faith and foolishness. Please don't misread me. I don't think we ought to go out and buy 10 buses, although I think we ought to have 10 CDL drivers. And if you think about, by the way, quit talking about it. Listen, shut up and do it. I'll never forget Leo Dickel gave me one nugget of information my entire life. Craziest man you ever meet in your entire life. I said, I'm going to go out and get me a CDL. He said, shut up. I said, he says, just go do it. Quit talking about it and just go do it. There's people that need to be picked up on these buses. And if you're not driving, they can't get picked up. So what did I do? I went out and got the CDL. That's where it's at, Christian. That's where it's at. You say, I got to go to get the CDL, and getting the CDL is going to be a cost. Huh? Huh? This man didn't count the cost. He realized that God was going to pay the bill. Well, that sounds great, but I don't see the church ponying up the dough. Why does the church have to pay the bill? I said, God pays the bill. Huh? It's amazing to me, and I want just for a moment. And I hate talking about this kind of stuff, but God's good. I like to praise Him. I thought that my wife and I would start giving this number for missions, right? By the way, missions is not your tithe. 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 Don't give to the missions and take away from your tithe. Your tithe is your tithe. Okay? I wasn't supposed to go there, but whatever. So here you go. You get to this point that you say, this is the number I'm going to give. And then God gives you a different number. Man, don't say that, buddy. I like this guy. You need to sit in the front all the time. Hey, that's what they did in Acts. Anyways, he says, this is what I want you to give. I said, man, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. I don't make enough money. There I am counting the cost. There ain't no way it would put a sacrifice on my family. There ain't no way. I don't know if I can do that. You argue with God. You ever argued with God? He, by the way, he usually wins the argument. So there I am arguing with God, right? I said, okay, I'll do it this once, God. You provide faith promise. I'll have the faith, you keep the promise. I mean, that's what we think. We're Christians, that's what we do. Well, you better provide, buddy. Okay, so this is where we're at. I put that money in. God gave me three times as much money throughout the week. All right, I'll do it again. Last time, though. If you stop providing, I'm going to stop giving it. Isn't that funny? Think it with me. I'm seeking until I find it. Amen? God says, give this. I say, okay. So I give it again. Three times the money. Week two. It's pretty impressive, God. And here I am, a Baptist preacher. You would think we'd be ahead of the curve in the faith department. Right? Right? And you're looking at me, oh, another one of these stupid money stories. I'm so sick of hearing the money stories. You know why you're sick of hearing them? Because you don't have one. Everyone says, yeah, you're right, I really. So here I am. Third week comes. I give it again. I'm getting happier now. Because I'm getting three times the money. Extra, by the way, extra. Read all about it. Extra money. I'm getting extra money. Now I have to work for it. I would get a funeral or something would come up. God expects you to work. He's not going to drive a Brinks truck by your house and roll it over so it all goes into your front porch so you can give to missions. But he might give you some work. So he gives me some work. I go and do the work. Week four comes, he does it again. Three times the money. Can I help you out? There's never been a week that he hasn't given me more money than I need to put in for that. Not one. Ever since Robbie Morrison was here, he's given me extra money. Extra money. Extra money. Not my normal money, because it would be such a sacrifice to give my money to God. That's what we say. I'm sacrificing. God says, I'll take care of it. And he did. And he has. And he continues to take care of it. It makes you wish that you'd have given more. Because three times the money be cool if I'd start giving like $1,000 a week. I could use an extra $2,000 a week, I'm telling you right now. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense at the front. I just wonder how faithful we're going to be with what God has told us to do. By the way, giving $1,000 not only would be impossible, it would be foolish because that's not the number God gave me. What we have in our lives is a thought process that God gives us something to do, and we let off so easy and we stop doing it so easy because we stop seeking that will that God has for our life. It's easier for me to just come sit in a pew than to do something for God. Because serving God is hard, and it is hard. It's hard being good. Ask your children. Ask you, Jarrett. It's hard being good. But when you're good, doesn't it feel great? When you do right, and you didn't expect to do right, it's got to be God working through you because in your flesh dwelleth. And if nothing good dwells in your flesh and God is telling you to do good and you do good, it's God's doing it through you. What a wonderful God we serve. So you got to understand that you must continue to seek, even in those times when they're difficult. Stop counting the cost. It might be dangerous serving God. I'm going to tell you, in this day and age, it's getting to that point. You preach against anything anymore, you are considered a jerk face. Pretty soon, that's going to be law. You preach against homosexuality, now it's a hate crime. Well, I tell you, I hate homosexuality. Now wait, I don't hate the sinner, but I surely hate the sin. I hate the sin of alcohol. You can say what you want to. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Your stomach ain't been that sick. And I never had one time where liquor made my stomach feel better. I've had a lot of times where it made me get sicker, but never made it feel better. And you know in your heart, I can take you to scripture after scripture, where the Bible is against drinking alcohol. That is a sin that just tears people's lives apart. The sin of doing drugs and the sin of doing pornography and all those things. I hate that sin. And it's something that we need to seek until we find what God... This is a really hard question, so I'll ask Bill. Wake up, son. Does God want us to do bad things? Do you believe God's will for your life is to go to the bar? If you go to the bar, you're not seeking until you find it. If you stay out of the bar, you're seeking until you find it. And I'm challenging you not just for the lives of others, but for the life of yourself, to seek God's will until you find it. It's amazing to me. People can't wait to surrender to God their lives. And I'm glad. I want you to. But you surrender God your life, find out what He wants you to do with it. It's one thing to surrender. It's another thing to just, okay, I surrendered my life. Your life has been surrendered to sit. Thank God. We needed more sitters. We need more people that are willing to fill the pews. We need people in Christianity today that are willing to seek what God has for their life. Not counting the danger, not counting the cost, not counting how long it'll take. Well, it took too long for God to give me His will. It's God's choice. Give Him what you got and seek until you find it. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And I'm going to liken this to my life. I know my life better than any of yours. I'm so glad that the Lord sought until He found me. I'm so glad that He was willing to leave behind the splendors of heaven to seek out David William Ballard. You may not think that's a big deal, but I know who I am. You may not think that's a big deal, but I know what I'm capable of. You may not think that's a big deal, but I know where I was. I know what my life was going to be, and if I was God, I would have stopped looking long before he found me. And you must come to the understanding that God has diligently sought you. He's diligently looked for you. He left behind the splendors of heaven and the wonders and joys. And by the way, this is what makes God so great. Even though we don't know the danger, we don't know the cost, we don't know how long it'll take, Jesus Christ knew. Jesus Christ knew that finding me would take him down the road to Calvary. He knew that seeking me would have him necessitate being born of a virgin in a stable. He, knowing who I was, knowing who I am, and knowing what it would take, I would have not sought me. Aren't you glad that he did? Look at your life. Look at what you're capable of through Jesus Christ. Did you ever envision you'd be where you are? Even currently. Come on now. Did you ever envision you'd be where you are right now? If you know the Lord is your Savior, you're going to heaven someday. Good night. Who cares about Obama's health plan? I mean, whatever. You can't get on the stupid website anyhow. All the brilliant minds we have in this country, we can't figure out a website. I've got kids in elementary that can build a website. I don't even know how to start. And I've got elementary kids. We can't get it figured out here in the United States of America. Why are we so wrapped up in this garbage? Seek until you find it. What has God got for you? Come on now. What has he got for you? What has he got? Some of you make cards. Some of you do things. Some of you get out and come to church and glad hand people here in the services. By the way, you know how important that is? Do you know how important it is to tell people that you care about them? Huh? You know how important that is to give people a card or just make sure that you pat them on the shoulder and say, man, I'm glad you're here today. You know how important that is? You know how important that is to seek that person in the service that looks like they're having a bad day? Are you having a bad day? Well, I'm not looking for you. Wouldn't you love to be able to bring that love of Christ that he's given you to somebody else? Wouldn't you love to have Christ appoint you a position in his eyes, not in your eyes? Get a little tired of that, by the way. Glory to God, I need to have a title. The dumbest title I've ever heard in my entire life is co-pastor. Get mad all you want. What has changed? Come on, help me out. What has changed? Do you think I make any decisions now? Huh? The decision that I make is to always go to him. What has changed? I hate titles. That's the dumbest thing ever. The dumbest thing ever. By the way, the Lord doesn't say, well done, thou good and faithful preacher. We're the worst, by the way. Well done, thou good and faithful preacher. No, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to... Everybody can be a servant, for goodness sake. Everybody. But we stop seeking what God has for us because we're too busy working on Facebook. There it is. There it is. I was wondering, man, it's already 11:35. I'm just now talking about it. By the way, do you know that anything you put out, the whole world sees? I'm just this unbelievably. There are things that I say in a heated moment that I don't want anybody else to know. I'm glad I'm the only one. Okay? There's things that I say. Colton, he's such a skinny meanie. I don't want to put that on Facebook because Colton will probably whip me. I don't want that. I don't want people to know what I'm thinking in a moment of time. By the way, you're depraved too. I know you have those thoughts. You're probably having them right now. Go put it on Facebook. 75% of our membership will see it. By the way, I may be the only one in this church not on it. But let me tell you something, I'm happy to be that person. I got more important things to do than get distracted from that. I'm going to seek until I find it. You're not going to find it on Facebook. You're not going to, at the very least, you can admit that you're not going to find the will of God on Facebook. I'm going to tell you right now, the will of God is something that is there for every single person. He did not save you without a purpose in mind. He did not save you without a thought process of what He wants out of your life. He did not save you for something that just does nothing with their life. He saved you because you've got a purpose, a wondrous, glorious purpose that God has saved you for. You've got to seek until you find it. The Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently ignore Him. That's good preaching right there. Is He a rewarder of them that diligently ignore Him? I love my kids when they ignore me. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I love it when when you're in school. We have a video school. The kids have earphones on. I know that only one side works. And if I would say, "Do you want a piece of candy?" They'd all say, "Yes." But if I say, "Do your work. Do your work. Jarrett, do your work. Jarrett, what? I didn't hear you." I've got kids. I can see them. From the desk that I sit, I can see them. Wearing their headphones. Not me. And they wonder why the quizzes come along and they don't know any answers. I'm not sure. I was listening with the ears that were placed on my forehead. But here's what's funny. We have no problem laughing at the kids, but they have to work hard to ignore me. I don't need a microphone wherever I go just to let you know. I'm heard. I'm heard by your children. What they do with it is up to them. That's easy to say amen to, isn't it? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Christian adult. How many times has God told you to do something? And you've got your headphones on your forehead. God, you might have told me not to do this, but I can't hear you. That's why God doesn't need your ears. He just needs your heart. Amen. And so God speaks to you, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently ignore them. What'd you tell me? Pass out a tract. I can't hear you. Say it. Say something nice to the man in the front row. Hey, how you doing, Kenny? Good. This is another Kenny, by the way. Yeah. Not that Kenny, though, and we're all praising the Lord. But it's good to have him here today, and I want him to know how welcome he is here today. And the Lord might have told you to tell a visitor that they're welcome here, and God loves them today. And you say, "I can't hear you, God." We had a Sunday school campaign, Super Bowl, invite visitors. I can't hear you. Seek God's will until you find it. He's got something for you. He wants you to do. And it may not be what you think. It may not be what you feel is right. Might even feel like a burden. I should add that. Hold on a second. Thank you, Kenny. It might be a burden. But I got to be honest with you. I don't see in here where the man that left to find it cared about the burden. Huh? It might be hard. But where in the Bible does it say it's not going to be hard? It might cost you something. But where in the Bible does it say it's not a cost? I'm glad Christ didn't care about the danger. This man in this parable may have survived and not a scratch. Christ knew what was coming when he sought me. Christ knew what was coming. He knew it was going to end in the cross. It is finished. I've found David Ballard. Huh? You got to put your name in there. It is finished. I found Bill Turner III. Here he is at the cross. By the way, all of you are there. Why? Because we're sinners. And Christ didn't care about the cost. He sought until he found us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he knows where you are? Why? Because he sought until he found us. Christian, in your life, you've got to seek until you find what God wants for you. Seek until you get that loved one saved. Seek until you get through your Bible in a year. Seek. That stinking calendar. I wish you'd have never passed those out. You just make me feel bad all the time, preacher. Hey, I told you right at the front it was hard. It's hard to give up that newspaper. Hard to give up Sports Illustrated. Hard to give up the Cleveland game. Not hard for me to give up the Cleveland game. Hard for me to give it up today. Pittsburgh's playing, for goodness sake. But I'm gonna, here's the thing, Christian. Here's the thing. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we do a lot of things that make us happy here. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please, be happy here. I want you to be happy here. But I want you to be happy here in what Christ has for you. Because you're not going to find any greater reward than the next couple verses. Let's read them together and I'm all done. And when he hath found it. See, the problem is, Christian, I'm not sure that you've ever found it yet. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he found what he's looking for, he puts it on his shoulders. And he comes home rejoicing. I found it! I found it! And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Can you imagine Jesus Christ going back to heaven saying, glory to God, I found Myrtle! Ha ha! Everybody gather around. I found Kaylee Meyer. Sells. The first. I found Carl McDaniel. I had to go all the way to Calvary, but there he was. Can you imagine the rejoicing over one that gets saved? Can you imagine the rejoicing over somebody finding the will of God and doing it, bringing that home and saying, hey, I found what I'm supposed to do. Rejoicing. And you'll tell all your buddies about it. Woohoo! Bob Shell, immediately after he gets associate pastored, like a badge of courage, he goes to the Hall of Fame. Bob Shell, our Bob, Pastor Bob, he is inducted in the Streetsboro Wrestling Hall of Fame. When asked, what shall I tell them that you do? He said, I found it. I found it. I'm supposed to be an associate pastor. Put that on my list. So as he walks across the field, Camaro Bob. As he walks across the field, mustache waving in the wind. The announcer says, with Mrs. Shell's knees going like this, because somebody in the world might be looking at her. They walk across the field, and the announcer says, Mr. Bob Shell, associate pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. And he rejoiced, knowing he's found what he's been looking for. Why do people drink alcohol? Because they've stopped seeking. Why do people get into sin? Because they've stopped seeking. There's a void that's there. The lost person has that void with them everywhere they go. The lost person has that void in them because they haven't found the one that's been seeking for them. I wasn't looking for Christ. He was looking for me. And he found me, glory to God. And he brought me home on his shoulders, rejoicing, because he found that one that was lost. And there we are, seeking what God would have us to do. And there we are, walking across the fields of life, saying, I found it, I found it, and I don't care who knows it. I'm out there in the world, guess who I am? I'm Pastor Dave Ballard. Amen. Why? Because I found it. I come rejoicing. I'm not upset to be a preacher. I'm excited about being a... Are you kidding me? What else would I do? I found what God wants for me. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found that my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Heaven shouted the day that you found Christ. Let me tell you though, sinners repenting can still happen today among saved people. We didn't think about that, did we? Repent of what you're doing and seek until you find out what He wants you to do. That way you'll have joy. And don't stop seeking until you find it. Don't stop seeking until you find it. Because it's worth finding. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please help us today. Help us to not stop seeking. Help us to not be satisfied. Help us to keep wondering and wanting and desiring to serve you better. We all need to. Every last one of us needs to. Oh Lord God, I thank you so much for the people that are under the sound of your voice this morning. Lord, please help them. Oh God, please help them to find the joy that accompanies finding that which you're seeking. And help us to come to the understanding that we should never stop seeking. Lord God, I believe your will is something that we need to seek every breath we take. And when we find it, we will come rejoicing, grabbing our neighbors, grabbing our friends, and telling them that we found it. Lord God, the reason that we're disgruntled is because we haven't found it. The reason that we're upset is because we haven't found it. The reason that we're not happy is because we believe that we have it, but it's not your will, so we stopped looking. Lord God, help us to find it. If there's somebody in this room that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, please find them today. Let them know that they were worth seeking and that you found them and they were at the cross. You knew the cost. You knew what it would take, and yet you still went. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us that much. Lord, let us never forget it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say with an uplifted hand, I know that I know, 100% sure, that the Lord found me. I'm saved and I know it. Can you put your hand up real big and tall? You may put them down. I believe everybody's hand went up, but I can't be sure. I don't see that good. So I'm going to ask, how many would be willing to say, you know what, I really don't know, but I would like to know. He's been seeking you. There's no doubt about that. That beating in your heart, that palpitations in your chest right now, that's from Jesus seeking you. He's looking for you right now. Forget about being Baptist, religion. None of that matters. It's about Christ. And He's been seeking you. He's been looking for you. And now you're here. And boy, it sure would be great if you realize that you're found. How many can say with an uplifted hand, I don't know, but I sure would like to know that I'm going to heaven. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what He's looking for. Just realize you're found. Come to Him. That's all He wants. How many can say, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. Can you put your hand up real big and tall? I'm not sure that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Is there anyone? Then I'm talking to Christians. You've already been found. Now it's time for you to do the seeking. What's God going to do with you? What's God going to do with you? He's got an idea. He's got a plan. Let's seek until we find it. Amen? Let's seek until we find it. Let's go ahead and stand together. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this invitation time. Oh, Lord God, I'm so thankful that you found me. Lord, please help me to continue to seek your will for my life. I don't believe my life is over. I believe I've got a lot more to do for you. So, Lord, please help me to seek until I find it. I believe I'm doing what you want me to do, and I'm rejoicing over it. But I don't want to stop. I always want to seek your will no matter what. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to ignore the world and not ignore you. Lord, help us today in this invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jordan, what are you singing? Number 379, the altar's open.